It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
B-Pod Studios.
Welcome to Wrestling Inside the Ropes with James Stewart.
I'm the best. I'm the best in the world. I've been the best ever since day one when I walked into this company, and I've been vilified and hated since that day.
And Mike Sarge Riley.
I don't know if you realize it or not, but you're trespassing on private property. When you walk through here, through these ropes, you're in my yard. Bad things happen in my yard.
Wrestling Inside the Ropes.
Each week, you can listen to Wrestling Inside the Ropes on the podcast page of 98.5thesportshub.com and on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. While you're there, check out all the other original podcasts available from Boston's home for sports, including Over Under 98.5. Our podcasts are also available at bpodstudios.com and in Apple Podcasts and Google Podcasts. Three-man booth for two topics this week. Mike Riley, Joe Murray. I'd like to start with the AEW show on Saturday night, which is getting rave reviews from everyone I talked to. The internet seemed to love it. I really enjoyed this show, and bigger picture, I think AEW's Fighter Fest is getting good reviews for a few reasons. The first one, the target is us, the hardcore adult wrestling fan. Secondly, the show builds to the end. It doesn't hit its high point at 9 p.m. when the show is supposed to be over at 11 or 11:15. In a general sense, this was more than 3 hours of just nonstop action. The show didn't slow down, and it built from one match to the next. Really loved it and really felt like it had something for everybody. Third point, everything is simple and has logic, which leads to my fourth point. There's some type of continuing story everywhere on the card. Example, Cody goes to a 20-minute time limit draw with Darby Allin, somebody who the commentators kept saying is somebody that Cody shouldn't take lightly. Oh, and at the end of that, here comes Sean Spears with a chair. And oh, Cody has a match with Dustin against the Young Bucks on the next AEW show, which is July 13th, Fight for the Fallen. This is why people dig AEW. This is why I dig AEW. Mike, what'd you think?
You know, Jimmy, I thought it was a really good show, and sometimes I think that there are the expectations where it's very hard after the success of Double or Nothing to have the same success that you had for the one right after it. So, you know, Double or Nothing, it was about a month ago, a little over a month now, and here we are with the Fighter Fest, which, again, you know, yeah, I think it was a solid card. And looking at everything, the total amount of the longest duration of a match was 20 minutes and 50 seconds. 20:50, that was the six-man tag match, which I thought was one of the – you know what? I've seen some great tag team matches over the years. That was one of the best tag matches I've seen in a long time. Omega and the Young Bucks against the Lucha Brothers, Laredo Kid, 20 minutes, 50 seconds. Joey Janela, I thought he got put over very well by Jon Moxley. And I really thought it was a coming out party for Darby Allin to have Cody Rhodes put him over like that. Good pay-per-view. Hardcore fan, like you said, really appreciates it. We've seen the violence. They're not afraid to put the blood out there. Where the WWE, you see the official put the gloves on right away. That's not an issue here in AEW. They let them keep going. It kind of had an old-fashioned feel to it for me, too, when I saw the time limit for the matches. And yes, the Rhodes Darby Allin match finished in the draw there. But you know, you had Justin Roberts, the ring announcer, kept saying there are 10 minutes left. There are 5 minutes left. On WWE, you would have a clock there and they try to beat the clock. I thought it was an old fashioned feel. It was really good how it kind of brought me back to that era there. And again, the crowd was into it for I'd say a good chunk of the show and all of the matches. Good venue, better production from what I saw from the Vegas show. Very pleased with AEW. I am in on this, Joe Murray.
So I agree, guys. I was in. I was just glad that there was wrestling, whether it was WWE or Impact or anything like that. It was good to see a wrestling show. What I will say, though, and I've read a few reactions, so I'm kind of interested, Jimmy, that you think that there's been a lot of positive review. I think this one was easy to nitpick a little bit. I, you know, some people made mention of the final hour of Raw. You know what I mean? Like, which isn't a real compliment, but to your point, it did build up. Like the buy for the tag team tournament. I I don't know who the other people in the tag team tournament are going to be.
I don't think they do yet.
But I need more on that. Do you know what I'm saying?
I think that's one of the great cliffhanger stories is who's going to be in this thing, who's next.
It built up a ton. I think there were some people that truly got over to the point of Mike. Like Janela was put over big time. Mm-hmm. Allen was put over big time. JFK might be one of the best promo guys in the business right now. Right? He might be one of the better guys. So yeah, last night overall, I thought it was really good. There was a chair shot, I'm sure we'll get into, that people are buzzing about all day today. The Moxley match was good. The one thing that I really love, in just going back from years, like when we were kids watching wrestling, every show ended with a story to go to another show. And to me, like, I feel like that's the storyline, you know, keeping that going. It's wrestling in the ring, it's action, but at the same time, it's building towards the next.
Joe, I want to address the nitpick aspect. The only thing that I really saw on the internet was people nitpicking the pre-show. And it just proves that AEW isn't a perfect promotion, which nobody thought that it was. But the way that I think that, and the reason why I'm so high on it, is when I used to watch the NWA, they would always build towards the last four matches being really matches of meaning. And the example that I'll use that comes to mind is Wrestle War. Flair and Luger for the world title was the main event. Steiners and Arn and Ole underneath that. There was a Freebirds, Tom Zink, Brian Pillman match underneath that. Those were all three championship matches at the end of the show. Historically, the Horsemen, when they main evented, Flair was in the main event defending the world title. Arn and Tully were the tag team champions defending those. And then Barry Windham or Lex Luger was the U.S. champion defending that. And I kind of like that format a little bit.
Yeah, and listen, I do agree. I thought the pre-show wasn't great. Every match did get better. Again, the tag team thing is something I want to see expanded a little bit more. I don't know how you guys feel about the Young Bucks. I still don't think they're like the greatest tag team. I don't know what it is. And maybe it's just a whole lot of hype, guys. Maybe that's what it is.
Yeah, you know, I'm glad you said that, Joe. I think they've come in with an overrated sense from a lot of people. Not taking anything away from their talent. They are very talented. And I think I took more of an appreciation to them, though, last night or on the Saturday night show from what I saw from them. You know, we had the triple kick in that, the triple power bomb and the series of the super kicks with both of them. I think JR really did a good job, you know, kind of building them up, saying in a couple of ways that if you don't appreciate tag team wrestling, you don't appreciate the Young Bucks. And if you don't appreciate the Young Bucks, you don't appreciate professional wrestling. So I think that really sets the tone right there, especially after taking from Tony Khan's interview with Stone Cold Steve Austin a couple of weeks ago, with the future of tag team wrestling in AEW, that these guys are going to be the signature for the company of the tag team promotion.
So addressing the Young Bucks, I think they're an excellent to outstanding tag team. I think part of the reason why I don't think they're the best tag team in the world is because they only do it once every so often. Not to sound like Seth Rollins, because I'm not intending to. But I think that the reason why people think they are the best tag team in the world is because their pace is just so good and so aggressive. And when you have that pace, but you only do it so often, I think that moves you up the hype train a lot. If you were to ask me the best tag team in the world right now, I would probably say the Usos.
Yeah.
Because I like their promos. I like their in-ring work. I would shout out to Daniel Bryan and whatever tag team partner he has also, because Daniel Bryan is probably the best WWE worker there is right now. And what he did for Heavy Machinery at Stomping Grounds is impressive.
I agree with you on that. Yep. I agree with that.
Yep.
New Day, you have to put in that category as well, because their promos are great. Their in-ring work is great. So the Young Bucks, they're a top tag team, but they're not number one.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're number one for the AEW brand, you know, and I think that's what they're trying to build them as with the when this all does become a full-time promotion on a weekly, you know, scale for the television audience and everyone to kind of see exactly who they are on a weekly basis instead of, like you said, you're not doing it every night or all the time.
What'd you guys think of the hardcore match? I didn't think it was very hardcore. I was expecting a little bit more.
Oh, the unsanctioned one?
Yeah. Oh, so it was a hardcore match, right?
Yeah. The Moxley.
And another thing I wanted to mention, there was a bunch of WWE references. There was a pedigree with a two count. Mm-hmm. Someone used a thong, kind of like Mr. Socko.
Yep.
And I say JFK earlier. I meant MJF. I feel like
MJF.
Yeah, and I apologize for that, but there were a lot of things where I still got WWE references, and all of them were just trying to get AEW over.
But they're going to do that consistently. So I think that AEW is some sort of cross between the NWA in the 80s and ECW in the 90s. Mm. I think they're going variety something for everybody, but action keeps moving forward. There's no stops in the middle. There's no delays, generally speaking, except for when they were trying to figure out what's going on with Cody. That was really the only time that I think that AEW had a slowdown in the progression of the show. As far as the main event goes, John Moxley, he reminds me a lot. Like, this is John Moxley doing the death matches when he was making $40 a night. And if you watched the New Japan match last month with Moxley versus Juice Robinson, this is kind of a preview of what I think Moxley was going to be. He was allowed, in this match, he was allowed to use thumbtacks and barbed wires. The Juice Robinson match was just 25 minutes of them brawling, trying to work within New Japan's parameters. I think if this were on pay-per-view or TNT, it wouldn't be allowed, but since it was a Bleacher Report fight, it was allowed to push all of the limits.
Well, the other thing too, Jim Ross did apologize a couple times with the swearing in there, and that's something I took into consideration too. I'm like, wait a minute, is this a pay-per-view or is this cable television?
It's a live stream. It's a live stream, but you know what? JR could be conditioned to apologize even if he's not told to.
Okay, so you consistently did not hear them bleep out or turn the volume down with the crowd saying, "You sick, you know what," to John Moxley. And what I loved, you would never see this in the WWE, never. If Moxley, if he got that chant there as Dean Ambrose from the crowd he got at Fyter Fest with the "You sick, you know what," he took a bow and he owned it. That was great. If he did that in the WWE, he would get an earful from Vince McMahon in the back, and I'm sure Vince would say through the headset, "Gee damn, pal, I can't, but what are you doing?" So he would be furious. So good for him. He's able to live out his character, do all that stuff, and live out the hardcore scenario like you did in New Japan and be the John Moxley that he should be in professional wrestling.
Yeah, just one thing. I thought the Moxley match was really good. I really liked it. And again, you guys mentioned the last couple. The Cody Rhodes Darby Allin was awesome. I like how it did go to the limit at the end there. I thought that was a pretty interesting storyline. Then you mentioned the Spears. So that sets up the next one. In the Omega on Moxley, I thought whatever that move is off the rope. You know the name of that, Jimmy?
You know what? I don't offhand.
But I wish I knew. And they said it right away when it happened. But like that reminds me of AJ Styles, that type of, you know, when in Japan or. But that's the kind of wrestling. I think I'm seeing more of Kenny Omega not as the champion than when I saw him as a champion being pumped in New Japan and other promotions. Like, to me, I'm starting to see the allure of Kenny Omega, where before I looked at them like I did the Young Bucks. So I just thought that was a great move, and it's really setting up that Omega, you know, that Omega Moxley for the future.
And I think that even before that, you see Omega and Moxley in Chicago, you're going to see Chris Jericho in 2 weeks. Jim Ross did tease. I keep going back to Jim Ross, but I took numerous notes here with him in the commentary. He did tease. We might see Chris Jericho in Jacksonville in 2 weeks. So there's a good chance you could see some sort of interference there or something to the, you know, with Chris Jericho making an appearance on that. And just another thing, too, that Jim Ross said with John Moxley, he used the quote, he has some Terry Funk in him. So to have that high praise like that, that says a lot right there for his character.
There's Terry Funk. There's Cactus Jack. There's the deathmatch element to it. Absolutely.
I love it. I think it's great. I think it's fantastic.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. Guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Imagine a place where you are never far from your next adventure. Welcome to Prince Edward Island, Canada. A destination where the breathtaking views rejuvenate the soul. Discover 700 miles of coastline with white sand beaches and red cliffs. The freshest flavors from land and sea. World-class golf, outdoor adventures, and authentic cultural experiences. Come find your island. Prince Edward Island, the official travel destination of the NHL and a proud partner of the Boston Bruins. Learn more at explorepei.com.
So what did you guys think of... Before we transition to the WWE stuff, what did you guys think of the chair shot to Cody Rhodes, the unprotected headshot to Cody? I didn't think it was a big deal. When I saw the gash and the piece of skin hanging off the back of his head and the gusher, I was like, wow, that's violence. And it was, I think the key to it was, it was one shot and it left that type of impression. So I didn't have a problem with it, but the internet seemed outraged.
Well, I just think this is a time now we're in sports where headshots, concussions, and things are just a topic, you know. I mean, especially young children these days, and blah blah blah, whatever. He wasn't concussed from everything that we've heard.
No,
you know, maybe it was a setup. Maybe he said, "Let's do it." Maybe, you know, maybe he's taking one for the team for the promotion. Hey, listen, we're talking about it, right? Isn't that what it's all about? We got to be talking about these things. AEW wants us to you know, talk about this over the weekend and 4th of July, and then, you know, what happens with another Monday Night Raw or anything like that. They got us talking. It worked. Whether you like the shot or not, we're talking about it, and it's a win for AEW.
Yeah, and you know, even just the angle of that chair shot, and then all of a sudden when the camera goes off Cody Rhodes, you see the blood coming off the back of his head. I was like, that really hit the back of his head? It didn't look like that. So... you know, my initial assumption was just a blade, you know, just got it right there. But it was a heck of a shot, and he sold it very well in the end, whatever happened, if he did cut himself or if he didn't. And it made me think, like, wow, this is, you know, and that's the second time, two pay-per-views that we've seen, or two big events, sorry for keep using pay-per-views, but the two big events with AEW that Cody is not afraid to shed the blood. That match against his brother, against Dustin Rhodes, that is candidate for match of the year that we saw at Double or Nothing. That is a candidate right there. I'm going to put it right on the awards right now. But this right here, he's not afraid to do it. And you're going to see that in the future of AEW. And I'm really excited for that. For any wrestling fan, if you're a hardcore fan, and if you're really into it, you want to change, you should be really excited for what's about to happen here.
Any, do you guys have any other notes from AEW?
Joe, you got anything otherwise?
Again, I like, I'd love to get into like the best friends, the like the SCU. I'd love to know more about that. Like Allie and Levi, I know somebody was supposed to fight one of the women, and she was out at the last minute. Nyla Rose, like I'm interested in some of these people. Christopher Daniel, like just yeah. some of the guys are just guys to me. But Hangman, like that, I like it. MJF, like he's a great promo. I don't want to say it's Miz like. But I like his – he's got like an EC3 look with a Miz mentality, just kind of like that. Darby Allin in on that. Omega was great. And Moxley, just his character in general, it really put Joey Janela over.
So, Joey – go ahead, yeah. Mike.
Well, yeah, Allie, I think, was on the pre-match – the pre-show, I believe. Allie Leva Bates?
Yep.
Yeah. So, yeah, that was there too. And just one more thing. I thought that from what I saw at Double or Nothing – good production, but this one, they really polished it up. You could tell there were some different camera angles. They had different, you know, more lighting, I thought. And I think that the three-man booth, Jim Ross has commented on that on his podcast with Conrad, Grilling JR, that he's not a fan of the three-man booth, but I thought they worked really well together. I'm still not a fan of the two play-by-play guys. I want one play-by-play guy, not two. And that's where I'm getting a little confused there with what's his name? Marvez, is that it? Alex?
That's the problem, Mike. We don't know who he is.
Yes. You know, I don't like it.
I remember watching it with you, and I'm like, hey. The one thing I did like, they introduced Jim Ross as the voice of wrestling. Yep. And I thought that was great.
Keep him as a play-by-play. And Jimmy has mentioned it numerous times here, you know, with the Mauro Ranallo being a fan. From what I heard from the two differences there, Jim Ross is a fan. He's giving you stuff. This other guy is a journalist. They have to bring back the fan aspect in this. And one more thing, too. I love that they keep building up. We know what we're getting at the next event in 2 weeks. Yep. We're getting Dustin and Cody against the Young Bucks. And then we're going to get Hangman and Chris Jericho. And then you're going to get Moxley and Omega. We know about this, so you can build it up over time here, and this is perfect. It's great. It's old-fashioned. It's a thing of the past, and it's happening right now.
So, Joe, just to follow up with on your point about the characters is I like the fact that we don't know everybody yet, because then during the course of their television show, we can find out who these characters are. I think AEW right now has specific plans for specific wrestlers. And so that's why that they're being highlighted. Not everybody is going to be a main eventer yet. They have to build some people up, because this is the first time that Hangman Page and MJF are going to be on a national stage. Darby Allin, the same. Joey Janela, the same. So they have to use certain tools that can still keep the stars strong, but say, hey, these are the next guys that are coming up. And one key is going to be when they're ready, and we'll all know when they're ready, that they get inserted into main event programs properly. WCW 96, 97, 98, 99 had this great undercard of Jericho, Malenko, Guerrero, Benoit, Mysterio. They didn't know how to implement them with Hogan, Savage, Bret Hart, Hall, Nash. They implemented Goldberg, but I think they implemented Goldberg because he fit a profile that was accustomed to everything, and I think the timing just kind of worked out. And when I say profile that was accustomed to, it was Hogan who's like, okay, it's time for me to lose to Goldberg, because former football player, he's 6'4", he's 250, 260, 280, whatever it is, and he's just a monster. Whereas the Jericho, Benoit, Malenko, Guerrero, Mysterio crew, they didn't fit into what the likes of Hogan, Hall, and Nash thought of as somebody who should be in the main event program for a long time. So whereas AEW is, I don't want to say a bunch of undersized wrestlers, but they are the 6'1 to 5'9 batch. And if I'm off with the height, just kind of work with me. They're more accurate. Like in-ring style is going to be stronger than the look through the airport, which is what I think Goldberg was more than the names that I mentioned.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good point on that. I mean, here we are. We're just seeing pay-per-views, whether you're paying for it or streaming it on Bleacher Report or whatever. Like, we're getting what they're giving us. But at some point, you are right. We probably will learn more about some of the characters, and maybe that's another reason why to tune in. But I will say this. The three of us are here on a Sunday night talking about wrestling that's not WWE. And I think that this is what's good for wrestling. Whether you like WWE, whether you like AEW, Impact, Evolve, whatever, anything. We're talking about it, and that's what AEW has done.
Joe, the main point for me is when we did an AEW recap show of their last pay-per-view, and right now it's number 5 for 2019 of most downloaded podcasts for this show. And so once I saw that, I knew that AEW can be the lead story on any podcast that we do, and there's no issue with it.
Yeah, one last thing to add, I know Mike's been big on this. Saturday nights.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I love Saturday nights.
We were texting each other, right? Hey, how do we find it? What do we do? It was Saturday night. Like on a Sunday, I got to go to bed, take care of the kid, this and that. Mm-hmm. Saturday night, I think it's a prime spot for wrestling.
And also, too, I mean, during the football season with the WWE, they're up against the NFL Sunday Night Football, okay? Saturday night, sure, you get a college football game here or there. I know it's bigger in different parts of the country, but for the Northeast here, Saturday night, it's great. And it's kind of like, again, that old-fashioned feel. A Saturday night was a boxing. That's a big boxing big boxing fight night. And here we are, that you have Double or Nothing on Memorial Day weekend. You have this one, Fyter Fest, the weekend before the 4th of July. The tribute to the fight, what the heck is the name of the next one? Help me out here. In 2 weeks. What the heck is it? Fight for the Fallen. Yep. 2 weeks after the 4th of July, and then All Out on Labor Day weekend. So they're basing it around the holidays here. They're not afraid to do that all on Saturday nights. Brilliant. Great job. They're doing very good.
And I think their point is to make the pay-per-views destinations where they do StarCast and the pay-per-view all within that little circle. It's good for them. Speaking of destinations, this kind of came out of nowhere this week. Paul Heyman.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. Guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234. Imagine a place where you are never far from your next adventure. Welcome to Prince Edward Island, Canada. A destination where the breathtaking views rejuvenate the soul. Discover 700 miles of coastline with white sand beaches and red cliffs. The freshest flavors from land and sea. World-class golf, outdoor adventures, and authentic cultural experiences. Come find your island. Prince Edward Island, the official travel destination of the NHL and a proud partner of the Boston Bruins. Learn more at explorepei.com.
And Eric Bischoff are executive directors. Paul Heyman is set to become the executive director of Raw, while Eric Bischoff will fill the same role for SmackDown Live. Both will report directly to WWE Chairman and CEO Vince McMahon. And so I saw that line and I said, because we all get excited, Paul Heyman and Eric Bischoff, they're two people who have led companies to great success against the WWE. But I saw the will report directly to WWE Chairman and CEO Vince McMahon. And the first thing I thought of was, isn't that the problem? Isn't the biggest hole in this announcement that both Paul Heyman and Eric Bischoff have to still answer to Vince McMahon? So does this mean that that Paul's going to write a promo and he's going to have Pooper Scooper removed from it because Vince wants poop jokes?
Mike, what are your thoughts? I got some good ones.
Well, you know, I did a little digging on this one, and there's a few things that I found out. So Vince is a little – he's really – there is a concern with the AEW, and I think that he needed to find a way to swing for the fences and do what he could to get two powerful guys. Now, Eric Bischoff, we know he's had a pretty successful podcast, and that was kind of a surprise to me. I was like, wow, okay, he wants to get out of that. So, you know, we know that his buddy Bruce Pritchard is back in the WWE. So Vince, as we know, has a big return of the XFL coming back. Now, he's going to have to, you know, dedicate more time to that. And sure, he'll still have his hands in the WWE on a weekly basis, but I think he's looking at it from a standpoint with a couple of lieutenants here. And yes, with the new contract of SmackDown going to Fox, and Paul Heyman taking over the Monday Night Raw show, which he has done before, more or less, for SmackDown. But this is the alleged flagship show for WWE, which they have said for many years. Vince, I think when you combine all that right there, he knows he can trust these two guys. They've done their work, and it's going to be very interesting to see how this all pans out. And I said a couple of weeks ago on here, I know that they did say in the press release this is not going to be for on-screen, but I wanted authority. I want authority to tell me who's making the match, who is ordering who to come out next right here in this very ring tonight to defend those titles. I want authority, and as a fan, I got it. I am very excited. I'm not going to try to overhype it anymore, but I think this is a step in the right direction for programming for WWE. Now, to Jimmy's point, a little worried about that with the reporting to Vince McMahon, but if he's going to lay off a little bit and focus a little bit on the XFL, then let these guys run the show, and I'm sure he will have the final say. But this is two very creative minds here to run SmackDown and Raw.
Yeah, I was going to mention the XFL angle. I think Vince is going to be full bore with that, and he needs two guys he can trust to bring in. Now, I did watch the Alexa Bliss special this past week on the WWE Network. It shows, like, Paul Heyman working with Alexa because she couldn't wrestle. She was injured and was doing that moment of bliss. He's really working with characters backstage, and I think that could really help. Maybe he'll try to put guys over that are in social media and things of that degree. And again, I know WWE's talked about it. Mike, you just mentioned you want that authority figure. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure how much you're going to see these guys on screen just yet as like executive producers. So I'm curious when they bring that angle in. The whole Bischoff thing for me is I'm just glad he's back in wrestling. This is a guy that's worked with big networks. And, you know, I think over time people really have kind of dismissed what happened with WCW and look at him as like, oh, that's a guy that kind of tried to jump shit and save it, and it didn't work out. I just think that this guy's a real mind and working with a big network, and, you know, maybe tie that in with Fox and everything like that. It's another thing. He's just another asset that the company can have. But I'm interested. Like, and we love wrestling podcasts. We know Conrad's been a big part of it. And look at it now, right? We're wrestling fans listening to these podcasts, and now they're going into the big shows that we watch week in and week out. So maybe Vince is listening. Maybe Vince is trying to reach the everyday wrestling fan instead of just the person who flicks around on television. But I actually think this is a great move. Not like an old timers move, and I've seen some hate on it. I've seen people think, "Oh, great! When's the other '90s stuff going to pop up?" But I do think that this is a good move for Vince. It's just, will Vince let these guys do their job, or are these just yes men who are going to get paid going further? That's not so bad for them, but is it good for us?
Well, Vince and Paul Heyman have had kind of a love-hate relationship over the course of their working together. And Eric Bischoff, from what I understand, when he worked for Vince, was the model employee when it came to characters. So when we're talking about Eric Bischoff, my feel is that Bischoff was brought in to work directly with Fox and to be kind of that middle person with Fox.
Yep.
Whether he can book a program or keep a story linear, keep a story progressing, much like with Vince McMahon to have to answer to, that'll be kind of interesting because I still, at the end of the day, this is Heyman and Bischoff are still handcuffed to Vince. And if Vince is his hands-on and saying yes or no to things, this isn't going to work. And this move feels a lot like window dressing. And it might be that they have given these two titles so that they don't go to another promotion and help them.
Good point.
Yeah, oh yeah, totally. Which, he's scared of the AEW.
Which, to me, like, so I think WWE's payroll is 11%, 11 to 15% of what they take in. So that's still low. So Vince McMahon can still buy the world if he wants to. And just because you're buying up everybody, is that good for everybody? Like, you can't have, and maybe this is one of WWE's problems. We just discussed in AEW, they're featuring, you know who they're featuring. And you know why they're featuring and you know where they are on the card for featuring. Vince has 251 wrestlers under contract. He's trying to feature 100. And you can't do that. Not everybody can be a main eventer.
And not to mention, you know, house shows and things of that degree as well.
You have to have people slotted into different things. And and maybe exhibit A of this, I'm generally a passive aggressive person, so I kind of understand this, is you have New Day on Raw, they're part of SmackDown, taking on the Viking Warriors, who are kind of sort of new, but NXT likes them. They're kind of called up because tag team wrestling is in question. And yes, it'll be a good entertaining match, but so are we still doing the wild card rule? Are we separating the brands again? Like,
yeah, this is driving me crazy.
I'm in for seeing New Day versus the Viking Warriors on Raw, but I'm still confused as to what we're doing here.
What's the rule? Stick to it. You can't change it on the fly.
So if I think one of the problems is Fox was originally promised Ronda Rousey, John Cena, Charlotte Flair, Roman Reigns. Mm-hmm. Well, two of those four aren't working, right? Two of those four are not. They're under contract to WWE, but they're not working right now. Roman Reigns, it seems like, doesn't want to be on SmackDown. And Charlotte Flair will generally do whatever you ask her to do. So they have a problem with Fox, and Fox is going to be the show that's in the most homes or in more homes than Raw. But Raw is always considered the flagship show. Yeah. So you've got this massive issue going on.
Well, that's where I think the WWE has to, you know, they have to come out and say, we have a brand new broadcast partner, and this is our new flagship show. If they're going to go on that route there for SmackDown, they got to define that and tell everyone and make it clear that this is going to be the A show where everything is going to happen. Now, yes, Monday Night Raw is older. It's been around a longer time than SmackDown. And I think for any wrestling fan, it will be considered as a flagship show over SmackDown. But if they're going to make SmackDown as the premier show, they have to tell us that. They have to tell us that this, like, straight out, be very clear. Tell you, this is how it is. You know, no beating around the bush, kind of like when, you know, where I'm done with a girl, I'm going to tell her straight up, I'm all set. See you later. Goodbye. I'm not going to play games with you. You have to tell you straight out, this is how it is. Period.
Who's the biggest star in WWE right now?
See, I think there's too many.
I think it's Seth Rollins.
Mm.
And here's why. And you guys just did it on your podcast this week, right?
I was going to say Becky Lynch. Becky Lynch.
Well, I mean, female or male, I don't know who, but on your podcast this week, you guys mentioned, you know, just other promotions talking out, and you know, Becky and Seth are standing up for the promotion. I think that's great. And, you know, Jericho's doing that for his, and we know, you know, Osprey's doing it as well. And, you know, I just think that that's great right now. Like, it's all good for wrestling, but you ask who is the biggest star? Like, I don't know. Is it Kofi? Is it Seth Rollins? Is it Becky? To me, I don't know who is John Cena going to come back? Like, to me, like, that's a huge question mark, guys. I mean, right now, I don't know. I'm going to say Seth Rollins.
So I think that they wanted to be Roman Reigns, but Roman Reigns isn't ready for it. I think it was Becky Lynch, but then WrestleMania happened and that fluky finish. And I don't feel like her and Rollins being on camera together has helped like it probably should have.
Mm.
And so that's where I'm kind of in. I don't have a great answer for you. I mean, do you guys think it's Brock Lesnar?
I mean, so I wanted to say him initially, but he's not on every week. That's why I can't say him. You know,
but he's the guy who gets the most buzz whenever he does anything, positive or negative. And they say that as long as you're getting a reaction, you're okay. And so yeah. Brock Lesnar gets a reaction. You either love him or you hate him.
Right. So maybe it is Brock Lesnar.
I would love to tell you that AJ Styles is the biggest star, but we watched him be the champion for like a year, and he wasn't on Survivor Series, and nobody complained.
Mm. Yeah.
And I love AJ Styles. Absolutely love the guy.
You know, we have not mentioned Kofi Kingston once. He is WWE champion right now.
I mentioned him for a bit, but is he bigger than Seth? I don't know.
And you know what they've done with Kofi Kingston is they have done a great job since Ali got hurt, really, in late January, early February, of building him up to be a title contender, him winning the title, and they have protected him so well as the WWE champion. One of the great complaints that we've had in the past is the champion gets beat. You just saw it this past Monday night. Ricochet wins the U.S. title against Samoa Joe at Stomping Grounds. The next night, he loses to AJ Styles in a non-title match. I don't believe Kofi Kingston has lost a match since he won the WWE championship. And that is something that for a long time they had just neglected in protecting their champion.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll say one name we didn't mention is Daniel Bryan. The reason why I think Bryan should be in the conversation is just he's got Eric Rowan as his partner, and Rowan doesn't speak much, really isn't going to great in ring, but you guys mentioned that heavy machinery. Like, he was really making Dozier look like a player, like a player, and just that team. He's good at putting people over, but also winning and, you know, staying relevant. And as a heel, he's a great heel. He's really a good heel. So they're probably, you know, but if I asked you who's number one in AEW, would you say Jon Moxley?
I would say the number one superstar wrestler in AEW right now is Chris Jericho. And Jon Moxley is a close number two, but I think when you go up to the random person and go, "Oh, did you see the Jon Moxley match?" People will go, "Who's that?" And then you tell them it's Dean Ambrose, and be like, "Oh yeah, Dean Ambrose. He's a WWE guy."
But when AEW, when you mention, if I mention AEW to you, who's the first wrestler that comes to your mind?
Cody.
Yep, there you go.
We are more invested deeper. I think Chris Jericho is still the main name that you think of when you associate with AEW and the common person, and that's why I think he's going to be their first champion.
Now let me say this: when I say WWE to you, who's the first superstar that comes to your mind?
Jeez,
Charlotte Flair. Sorry,
I was about to say take those pants off, Jimmy. The Charlotte pants. Anyone?
I mean, I think
you go Vince McMahon or Undertaker.
Undertaker.
Yeah, I think Undertaker because he's still just always in the mix, you know.
Yeah.
And I know he's a part-time wrestler, but he's still there. And
see, I try to put it as the champion, current champ. I try to. And listen, I like Seth Rollins, I really do, and I like Kofi Kingston, but I still have that image of Becky Lynch winning at WrestleMania and holding the two belts. That's why I think she's the best superstar right now in WWE.
You remember the old magazines that used to be out that always ranked the top wrestler in the world, whether it was in
the
NWA,
PWI 500.
Oh, Jimmy, that was so good. Yep. Like, I would love to know who it is right now. Like, there's plenty of names out there. Like, is Okada? Like, who is the best wrestler in the world right now?
So the best wrestler in the world is Okada.
Yeah, I actually agree with that.
Who's number two?
Kenny Omega won it last year for 2018.
So I do feel like Omega is still in that conversation. I do. I put Seth in that conversation.
He was number five last year for 2018.
And that usually comes out, what, September?
Yeah, it's kind of inconsistent as to when it comes out, but here's the list. One is Omega, two is AJ Styles, three is Okada, four is Brock Lesnar, five is Seth Rollins, six is Braun Strowman, seventh is Roman Reigns, eighth is Cody Rhodes, Naito is number nine, and The Miz was number 10.
And no Impact people, huh?
Three out of the 10 people in there will still be in the top 10 this year. Maybe five. That's five. Three is a little aggressive.
And if you want to go back to 2017, Okada was not number one. AJ was number two. Kevin Owens, three. Reigns, four. Omega, five.
Wow. How the times have changed. So I'd put John Moxley right in there. You got to put Cody Rhodes in there for this year so far. You got to put Jericho, I think. You know, you got to put him back in the mix. So look at all the AEW guys.
You know, and I would tell you that Johnny Gargano is in that top 10 for 2019.
I actually saw that. I saw that, and I was reading something. I like Brian Cage. I know a lot of people aren't, you know, probably into Impact, but I think he's a top performer. And again, maybe they just don't get the hype. But if you're looking in the world right now, though, I think if you like how to put it on your hand, I think AJ Styles is in there. I think Seth's in there. Okada, Omega. Moxley. I think Mox is huge right now.
Yeah, he is huge. And just to touch on Jimmy's point one more time there, when he said that, you know, Vince McMahon is juggling with, you know, 250 superstars in a contract, right, Jimmy? Is that what he said, 250?
It's 251, I believe.
251 and 100 slots. And to my point, what I was saying, when I asked you guys about WWE, there are too many. There's too many people. And with, you know, you can't get them all in there on a weekly basis, and it's just no real appreciation. I think back in the day, when you think of it, you guys had a favorite. Didn't you have like one superstar as your favorite back in the day? Who was it?
I mean, I loved the Ultimate Warrior as a kid.
Okay, Ultimate Warrior.
Razor Ramon. I mean, but
that era, Jimmy, who was yours?
It was Hogan. It was Cactus Jack.
But in that era, Hulk Hogan, then Cactus Jack. For me, I'd have to go Undertaker. And then in the Attitude Era, I would say The Rock and Austin, 1-1A. We had at least one. Now we don't know who we should have as our favorite.
Well, maybe I have a clear number one.
I knew it. Charlotte, such a layup. but that's what I'm trying to say. Too much.
But I think the WWE, we were talking about AEW and how on their show they had a variety for everything, for everyone. They had something for everyone. Mm-hmm. But you knew who the top main event people were. It's Chris Jericho, even though he wasn't on the show. It was John Moxley. It was Cody. It was the Young Bucks. And you saw Adam Page as a star, or going to be a star. MFW. I think there are a few people who have MF'd MJF.
I've already messed it up twice.
I was about to say MFK.
Love the guy, though. Oh, man.
Yeah, I saw him work when he was 18 at an armory in Bethany, Connecticut for Northeast Wrestling. And I made I made a comment to one of the people who's the decision makers. I'm like, this guy's a star. He's like, calm down. He's new to the business. I'm like, no, he's got the look. He's got everything that you're looking for. He's only 22.
Wow.
Yeah, I tell you, the way he cuts a promo right now, he's one of the best right now. I do.
You know, and another thing, too, with AEW, another thing it kind of has a mix of, sure, the ECW and the old WWE feel, it has a little bit of NXT in there, too. Really does. All natural.
Well,
I think,
so right now, NXT is just like Pro Wrestling Guerrilla from like 3 years ago. I mean, let's.
Yeah, but I think.
And I'm not saying like, that's a bad thing, but.
No, you know, but
you,
I think.
You have a California territory that's now getting WWE network exposure, and it's good stuff.
Yeah.
Right.
But I think the Undisputed Era, though, could be. I'm not going to go in NWO territory, but like, wow. Yeah, that thing's getting pushed pretty well, and it's putting over the Riddles and Velveteen Dreams and guys like that. Just another thing about the whole promotions here, guys. Do you think that they will try to separate Raw being its own brand, SmackDown actually being its own show, and maybe one of them rivals AEW or one of them rivals? Maybe AEW rivals NXT. I don't know. But
well,
do you think it will be completely different?
The TV spot, it looks like it's going to be Wednesday night 8 to 10. So NXT runs 8 o'clock on Wednesday nights on the WWE Network, unless NXT gets a TV deal on FS1, which I think people in WWE are pushing for.
I would eat that up. I love NXT, guys, and I know it's hard to follow, but yeah. I love it.
I'll tell you what, that Baszler cage match this past Wednesday, that's something to write home about. That was excellent.
And the women's division was pumping that up big time.
Yep.
Even Ronda Rousey came out of nowhere and tweeted about it.
Well, because it's Baszler, of course.
Yeah.
It's a girl.
Who doesn't love Shayna Baszler?
Of course,
I say that as the person who cheers her at NXT shows while the rest of the crowd boos her.
Well, I'll say this.
I love Baszler.
I like Baszler, but if she left and got called up, is there anyone else that could carry that title? I don't think there is right now.
Not right now. Not currently.
One thing I will say is there was an article this week that came out regarding Vince McMahon possibly not wanting Ronda Rousey. I'm not sure if you guys caught that. I forget who published it. But
I saw that. He had to be talked into Ronda Rousey, which, again, blows my mind.
Mm. Mm-hmm. And one other thing I wanted to say to you guys just randomly about wrestling, the 24/7 belt, it's like the ha-ha-ha, like out here. But when EC3 won the belt, I popped. And I hope they save that. Like, I think we might need that moment at some point because this guy was a star. We all know it. He was a star. I don't know if he's getting buried because Vince doesn't like him. One bad match, whatever. Or if it's the Ethan Carter, the Dixie Carter, whatever angle. But this guy, I'm telling you, man, there's something there where people are going to pop if he actually got a run. And I'd be in on that.
So, Joe, the EC3 thing, I take John Moxley at his word in that he was put out there to beat Dean Ambrose, and the crowd rejected it, and then Vince said, GD, do it again. And they did it again, and the crowd rejected it again, and Vince is like out on EC3. Because that's what happens, is if you don't impress Vince or impress the crowd in the scenario that he wants you to, you're moved on from. Yep. And it's hard to get that back. Like, when they called up EC3, back in late December.
Yep.
He came into Raw as one of the better promos just setting foot on that roster. Mm-hmm. And they didn't have him talk, which blows my mind, but he's got the look that Vince loves. And because he had two matches and a loop at the house shows where it didn't work against Dean Ambrose, Vince is like, well, forget this guy. And that shouldn't be the case. And if you're going to have that attitude about this many people, let them go.
Yeah.
Let them go. Or do what you did for Tyler Breeze. Let Tyler Breeze go back to NXT, rebuild his value up, and then, you know, bring him back in a different role. Like, yeah. I look at the – if you want a major difference between the main roster and NXT, look at Tyler Breeze. Tyler Breeze goes back down to NXT under his request – I believe. Mm-hmm. I think it was under his request.
I think Fandango's down there, too, to rehab as well.
And he goes down there, and he walks into a match against Velveteen Dream. And that crowd in Bridgeport, which I was there for, they treated him like a star. And that's something that the WWE audience didn't do post Fandango and the – oh, what were those vignettes called?
Oh yeah, the police thing they had,
Fashion Police, which were great stuff, and they were put into a tag team championship match, if I remember correctly, against either Cesaro, Sheamus, and the Usos, one of those two teams, and it was done. It was a comedy thing, and they made it work, and the crowd was with them because they had emotionally invested in these two characters, in Fandango and Tyler Breeze, who were doing good stuff on TV.
Correct.
And these guys are great workers, too. They're awesome in the ring, and you can't find a more prominent spot for them than comedy match with the tag champs.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and I'm sure we could sit here all day and talk about people that they've messed up with. But maybe, again, you were talking about Heyman and Bischoff. I wonder if they would try different angles with some guys.
Well, I'm sure that's part of the plan, and I'm sure they will make it on TV at some point. Joe, I just want to touch on one thing that you did say. I know we're getting ready to close it out here in a couple minutes, but I do want to say one thing. Which
I will tell you when we're closing it out, sir.
I saw the cue, but I'm just looking at, you know, the Raw and SmackDown potential rival here. And for those two, if you can see Jimmy on video right now, Raw and SmackDown.
I gave him the 1 minute signal with the middle finger.
the rival. And I would love to see, I've been saying this for a couple of years now, I want to see it happen at the Survivor Series. Put a stipulation on there for the brands. Something. Tie it in. Now you can totally do with two powerful names that are executive directors for Raw and SmackDown. Use it to your advantage. You know,
like loser gets sent to UK.
Yeah, it's something. I don't know. Anything. Go ahead. Yeah. It just, you know, vanish the title. I don't know. Anything. Do that.
There was somebody. Was it Ryan Satan this week just tweeted out, what's something that you would like to see from the old era? Considering, you know, now that, you know, Heyman and Bischoff are here, and I'm sorry for the time, but what's something you would add from the old days to the new days? And mine would be an invasion angle, maybe an NXT angle, something to that degree.
Oh, so I booked this with Billy Lanny the other day. We were just shooting the breeze. I almost cussed there. We were just shooting the breeze about wrestling, and Billy Lanny goes, what would you do to, you know, shake up Raw? And I go, invasion. Mm-hmm. The Undisputed Era.
How would you book it?
Oh, easy.
Okay.
Stand by.
All right.
I'm a little slow in my verbiage at times for emphasis, or at least that's what I'll tell people. So Undisputed Era is the team that invades, and it's at the end of some Raw show, and it's not like, you know, it's similar to Nexus, right? This is easy to do. So end of a show, it's Seth Rollins versus, it doesn't matter who, but Seth Rollins is in the ring. Adam Cole comes out through the crowd. He hops the rail. He costs Seth Rollins a match, non-title. Seth turns around and goes, what are you doing here? And he hops back. And then they get into a little brawl. And Hunter comes out full suit and goes to Adam Cole, you get out of here. You're not here. You're not on this brand. You go. You get out of here. Meanwhile, whoever Seth just lost to or beat in the ring, the rest of the Undisputed Era comes out and starts beating him up. Now you've got security out here. You've got Hunter screaming, no, dude, you guys get out of here. You guys are, you know, you're not welcome here. So then Seth comes in and he jumps over Hunter, and Seth and Adam Cole start throwing haymakers to the point where Seth pops Triple H by accident. So Triple H gets up and pops Seth back, and now you've got that issue going on. Meanwhile, the Undisputed Era, they went back into the crowd and they ran up the ramp. They're out. So then the next time on SmackDown or Raw or whatever, we'll say SmackDown for day continuity, right? Mm-hmm. Triple H comes out and says, hey, we're sorry. NXT isn't part of this main roster brand. They're going to stay right where they're at. I'm the leader of that brand. I apologize for their actions. So say Bayley is defending the women's championship in the main event against Asuka, right?
Yep.
Shayna Baszler all of a sudden makes her way down a ringside and sits front row. And the cameras obviously pick it up because that's part of the story. And Bayley notices that out of the corner of her eye, and she goes, you don't belong here. Get out of here. And say Asuka catches a fall on Bayley, and Asuka's the new women's champion, just, you know, for sakes sure. Here. Triple H then comes out and goes, you don't belong here either. Go. And Baszler's like, okay, no problem. She leaves. Then on Wednesday on NXT, because you're taping NXT live, Adam Cole's in the ring against, say,
Johnny Gargano.
I don't want to use that because it's a main event, but say Johnny Gargano, non-title match. Seth Rollins comes down and he just sits ringside, and now it's got Adam Cole's attention. And Seth Rollins is just sitting there, and he's got his Universal title over his shoulder, and he just sits there and he watches, and Adam Cole ends up winning the match, but it was a simple distraction that caused Adam Cole to not win as clear-cut as he would have liked. And Seth just gets up and leaves. Like, there's nobody who comes down and asks him to leave, anything like that. And then you fast forward to Raw, and you have Baszler, Undisputed Era, Matt Riddle, Gargano, the whole bunch of them just continue that progression of seeing these stars unofficially be on different shows, and then that leads to a SummerSlam or Survivor Series blow-off. But what you've done by doing that is you have put the Undisputed Era and Shayna Baszler on par with the champions, and they have been brought into the main roster as main event threats, which is something that doesn't happen. Sure. The last time we saw that happen was with the Shield when they came CM Punk. All three of them came in a main event fashion, and they pretty much stayed there. So that's what you need to do with the Undisputed Era, especially since they are, I hate saying it this way, they are undersized guys who need to be protected more than the bigger guys who might have an issue there. So and that was actually, just all off the top of my head.
Yeah. You're good with the Shield angle. I just wanted to mention Kevin Owens because he was the champ when he came in and then stepped on the title, if you remember.
And his thing with Cena. Again, Kevin Owens comes into a main event pitcher, and that is what they need to do more of, is this guy is a top guy. He is going to be presented as such, because otherwise you have, in the case of some, a 3 to 4 year build to get them there. Or in the case of Kofi Kingston, it was 11 years to get to that main event WWE championship match.
Yeah. I like that faction. I hope you copyrighted that whole scenario, Jimmy, because that's a pretty hot take. Good stuff there.
I'll close with this. One of my friends reminded me that years ago, after Seth Rollins had to give up the WWE championship to injury, and my friend and I were just talking back and forth about who would you make the WWE champion.
Yep.
And I said, have New Day win it, right? Have one of New Day win the actual tournament, and then you do Freebird rules with New Day as the WWE champion. So Xavier Woods opening match defends the title. Big E middle match defends the title. Kofi closes out the show, defends the title. And if any one of those three New Day members lose, the title is gone from them.
Sure.
And it would give an extra little stake to not only their tag team, but it would also put more interest in SmackDown, in that if Big E is fighting, say, Braun Strowman, and I know they're not on the same shows, but the wild card rule, right?
Okay, yeah. Yeah. Okay.
New Day has a vested interest in making sure that Big E wins that match and retains the title. And and furthermore, by doing something like that, the member of New Day that loses the title, that can start the cause of dissension in New Day and lead to that faction breaking up. And by the way, I wouldn't break up that faction because it's still very good. But these are like stories within stories that can all lead to something. And you can have, you know, Xavier Woods and Big E feuding with Owens and Sami Zayn. Meanwhile, Kofi is feuding with Dolph or Baron Corbin or whoever you want to, Shane McMahon. Mm-hmm. But what you have is you have the WWE title in jeopardy in three potential spots.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that would make it a little interesting.
Yeah. Oh, I like it, and I think the future is good here for the two future executive directors of Raw and SmackDown. Yep. And yes, it might be a blast in the past.
Guys, we're gonna have a good summer here, right? I mean, we're gonna get AEW couple of shows. We're gonna get SummerSlam, and it's gonna lead right into football season when the Fox moves happens. So momentum's starting to gear up a little bit for us.
Oh, don't forget New Japan, the G1 tournament, where Mike Riley has gone on the record and said Jon Moxley's gonna win the thing.
Yep. Wow. Book it now, kids. And also, the new SmackDown show on Fox, it debuts the same week as AEW.
Of course
it does. That's awesome. Yeah, but I think that's fantastic.
Sweet
ratings.
Huge.
It's the beginning of the ratings week, so it'll be good.
And I'll watch. I'm going to watch them both, man.
Bring it.
All right. My apologies to the audience for rambling on about booking ideas for the last 10 minutes. So I'm giving myself the go-home cue right now. Each week, you can listen to Wrestling Inside the Ropes on the podcast page of 98.5thesportshub.com and on the 98.5thesportshub app. While you're there, check out all the other original podcasts available from Boston's Home for Sports. Our podcasts are also available at bpodstudios.com and in Apple Podcasts and Google Podcasts. Don't forget to listen to 98.5 Over Under with Joey Murr. That is your Twitter handle, Joey Murr. Yeah. With Joe Murray and Dan Lifshatz. Lifshatz, of course, is a loose cannon. Joe Murray is at Joey Murr. Mike Riley is at Sarge985. The show's Twitter account is at WrestleCast985. You can follow me on Twitter at I am James Stewart. And for everybody here, have a wonderful 4th of July.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. It's guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234. Imagine a place where you are never far from your next adventure. Welcome to Prince Edward Island, Canada. A destination where the breathtaking views rejuvenate the soul. Discover 700 miles of coastline with white sand beaches and red cliffs, the freshest flavors from land and sea, world-class golf, outdoor adventures, and authentic cultural experiences. Come find your island, Prince Edward Island, the official travel destination of the NHL and a proud partner of the Boston Bruins. Learn more at explorepei.com.
There's always a reason for better health, and here's Carlo with his.
My program with Awaken 180 actually started when my daughter was born, and at that time, I was over 300 pounds. I felt I owed it to her to better myself and my family, of course. And I'll never forget, it was my fourth week. I came in, and my goals for that week were not met. And they found the positive in everything. And that was the biggest thing for me. Awaken 180 has provided me confidence, not only in my day-to-day eating, it's my day-to-day role as a father, as a friend. And that's something that for the longest time, I didn't have.
The benefits are endless after losing weight with Awaken 180. Carlo dropped his 84 pounds and he did it in under 4 months. Scale results, life results, with the solution for weight loss online at awaken180weightloss.com.